example, the labs being able to affect who was going to be nominated, and now the board picks who's going to be nominated. So they're self-selecting. And
right. Now, if you go to the Pacifica page, www.pacifica.org, they have a very interesting little letter that was written back in the early 50s. And what happened was that in this, and they give some background, and I found it fascinating. And I've heard this before. I've heard this in other sources. I heard it even from people on this, the other side, so to speak. That there was, when they first started it, they had this anarcho-pacifist vision. And what it would be is that everybody who worked at any, everybody would make the same salary, no matter what job they did. And that every person who worked and got any salary at all would become a member of the executive board. This was of KPFA, right? And what happened was that in this situation, what happened was that some people had an intimate knowledge of the issues, and other people who were on this executive board had real no knowledge of the issues, and divisions immediately started between those two groups. And then, feeding into that, the general political paranoia of folks of the anarcho-pacifist left. They, first of all, the anarchists and the pacifists argued with each other. The anarchists and pacifists together were in paranoia of the government.
Right.
And were in paranoia of their fellow citizens. And therefore, they brought into meetings tremendous paranoia. And then on top of that, you had a division between people who were intimately aware of the management and administrative issues and those who were just programmers that could care less and yet had an equal vote. And what happened was, like, wars would break out that are very much similar to what's happening now.
Finally,
they stepped in. Lou Hill himself stepped in and changed the structure in the bylaws, and they totally eliminated that way of doing things. And they created the board that we have now.
Well, I'm not an expert on the history of the board, but I think...
But this is, you know, and I believe I've heard this from different sources. Now, you know, let me relate this to, and I'll let you talk about that, to the famous SDS meeting. It happened before my time, but I've heard about it, back in the 1960s, late 60s, where the Berkeley chapter of the SDS, Students for Democratic Society, sat around in a room and decided that they would make all decisions by consensus. And the meeting was famous because, of course, it went for like 27 hours straight or something, with no decision being made until all the people who got tired left, and only those people who had already planned beforehand to stick it out to the very end, no matter what happened, were the ones left over at the end, and they made all the decisions.
Right, because they had the agenda.
Right.
And they sort of knew what they were doing.
Right. And that's many left-wing parties started in opposition to that, what happened at that meeting.
And the irony of all this is that when it comes down to the actual nitty-gritty of how we would like to see things be in this country, I think all of the people involved in this particular conflict probably have 90% of what their beliefs are in common. In terms,
there's absolutely, and I'll tell you this.
You know what I mean?
You'll laugh when I tell you there's absolutely no difference in politics between anybody I've met in Pacifica and Amy and any of the other people on the other side. No difference at all. It's unbelievable. Well, you know, this is it.
To George Bush and the things.
Well, they sit there and, well, you know, I don't know. You know, should we vote for Ralph Nader or maybe that would hurt Gore? I don't know. You know, that kind of thing. That's where they, you know, don't, I'm not sure if they agree on every, you know.
Well, but there was that vote a couple of years ago. There was that vote, I think it was a couple of years ago, on the board where they specifically made a motion and they passed it and it got everybody upset, which made them self-selecting. I think that
they were always self-selecting. It was always a self-selecting board since 1954 or whenever this decision happened. But what they did do was they eliminated the role of the local advisory board.
Right, the labs,
right. Right, but let me tell you this.
Doesn't that reduce democracy?
What did, you know, all the people in the lab who've been attacking me will be now enraged and attack me yet again, but let me say it anyway.
Okay.
What did the lab ever do for WBAI? I never even knew who they were. They were like a little debating society that did nothing. Nothing. And I'm not the only one who said that. Because I would ask people around here, what about this lab? And they would all laugh.
Do you think that
they were a laughing stock for years.
Do you think there's any chance that this can all be reconciled in the next year or so? If this lawsuit that's in there comes out, and the people who are opposing...
Right now, you see Pacifica made some move to now open negotiations for settlement.
Okay.
That's going to wipe out... You know, they can't make an... You know, the other side cannot negotiate. You understand that the unity uniting everybody around destroying Pacifica, which is basically what they've done, might be a great way to attack me on the internet, but it's not going to work in a legal arena. And why is because as soon as they start negotiating, half the people who are supporting the lawsuits are going to walk away in a rage.
So they can only be together if they meet the need of the most radical proponent.
Well, you better believe it.
Well, I hope.
And that's why you think Pacifica is saying let's negotiate. They're laughing their ass off.
Well,
right
I think
now.
What we need to do is to unite in opposition to the administration, to George
Good
Bush.
Good luck. Yeah, I know that's why. That I agree. You know, we should be doing that.
That's the real. You know,
people are being executed
enemy,
every other day.
That's right. What about the death penalty and real issues?
I wouldn't be surprised if, to some degree, we may find out in the future that some of what's happened has been a kind of a COINTEL gimmick. And that ever since Amy had that interview with Clinton, this kind of crap has been going on there. And I don't know what kind of strings have been pulled and what kind of subtle games. Mm-hmm. But I do know that what you said earlier is very true. When leftists argue, there are people who take great glee in that. And it diverts us and it distracts us
mm-hmm.
from what's really at stake.
Right. Well,
I'll leave it on that note.
All right.
And you hang tough.
I
disagree with you, but I don't think you deserve some of the crap you've been getting.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
yeah.
Take care.
Thanks for calling.
And you're on the radio.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. How you doing, Paul?
How you doing? All right.
Yeah, but you know, I want to say that basically I have a lot of like disagreements with that current management that's at the station. Now, when she had a show, Talk Back, now, I didn't really like her because I thought she was too condescending and arrogant. But on the other hand, I felt that had she came out publicly and said, and I've heard dissenters even say this, that they would have supported her had she came out publicly and said, well, look, I want to be this, I want to be that. But
she was supported. There was an ARC, a committee here. We have a search committee that's roots are in being an affirmative action committee, actually, and we've been very successful, or were over the years very successful.
And plus, let me also say this, too, and the reason why she did what she did with Bernard, because she got mad, bitter over the fact that when Valerie appointed Bernard to that position of program manager shortly after Samori's death, she was going, and this is on record, by the way, she was going around bad-mouthing Bernard and Valerie over the fact that...
Well, I don't know about that. I didn't hear any of that. I can't speak to that. I didn't hear any of that.
Let's say, for example, if she wants to run for something, I mean, she has that right to do that, but I felt that that day when the coup, whatever you want to call it, happened,
call it the counter coup.
When she came in bragging about the fact that Bernard was fired, and that, I thought that that was a dumb move. I thought she should let the Pacifica board deal with that, and then after everyone's head is cleared up, then you step into the fray if they can't get it. But the way she was doing it is like she had a vendetta. So she was going around.
I don't think this is a fair categorization.
Let me say this too. Even with Warren Gonzalez, the Daily News, what you say about the Daily News is true, but see, we can't criticize anybody unless we get our acts together, because if we don't get our acts together, people...
And I think
we feel free to criticize you, Therese.
Right, I mean, and even
so how together is your acts? You
right, but even, okay, I'll admit, even there was a lot of...
You're not going to answer that question.
My act, you feel very, very
comfortable criticizing you, Therese.
Right. But no, I do, but like I said before, now, she has that right to run now. If she wants to become president, yes, she has that right. And I've even heard dissenters say this, that they would have supported her had she came out and declared it publicly.
What are you talking about? You know, you're criticizing somebody with a lot of like incorrect facts. You don't even know what you're talking about.
What do you mean?
Are you saying other people should get their act together before they criticize people?
Look, it doesn't take too much common sense to know that what she was doing is she was doing that to get even with them. Because I even heard.
Oh, that's just a matter of common sense, then, your interpretation.
Well, I mean, let's face it. Look, I mean, you have your biases, too, and we all do it. And like I said before, I know that everybody on that side of our is not perfect either, nor is Miss U treats me. But what I'm saying is this, that I think that it's important, too, that we, like I said, that they try to rectify all this stuff before it really blows out of proportion. Now, hey, you know something?
I think we have to get it under control, without a doubt.
If you treat, let's say if there was an election, right? No, by all staff and all local advisory board, right? If you choose got elected, I would accept that. But like I said, but do
well,
I
then,
write no, I don't.
Can I ask why the local advisory board, which has been meeting...
Let me
let's have a conversation. I'm not going to cut you off. I just wanted to make a point to what you're saying.
Okay.
My understanding is, and maybe folks can tell me, because I actually, believe it or not, get everything. I hear it all. Even the biggest secrets from within the inner workings of these organizations all comes directly to me. That's
right.
One of the reasons. I just really get it. I have a file you wouldn't believe. It's like a foot thick of
right.
this stuff. And the stuff on my hard drive, my computer, megabytes and megabytes. All right. So, and I go to, and I do searches and I read what everybody says about everything.
Yes.
And as I was saying, I'm even on lists where people are having secret conversations and don't know I'm on their lists and getting their secret conversations. And it seems to me that there's a lot of problems within the so-called opposition that some folks are calling for elections of a local advisory board, and other folks are blocking that at every turn and don't want that to happen.
Uh-huh.
And that, in fact, some people in the opposition are just continuing the struggle that they were involved in when they were here at
right.
the station of trying to control it through Machiavellian backdoor means
right.
And are short-circuiting any of what I consider naive dreams that somehow you'll be able to elect the management of a radio station.
Yeah, but that goes I admit,
in other words, it's like, I mean, there's a lot of problems when it comes to democracy within the so-called opposition. Quite a number of powerful members of the opposition have, what seems to me from documents I've gotten and read and letters and statements that they've made, are not really in favor of democracy.
I mean, I guess people can say likewise about Ms. Lee, too. I mean,
but I'm just saying that, you know, this is, I mean, you're talking about getting the act together. I mean, the opposition doesn't seem to have their act together. I get, like I said, I get emails and contacts and letters and phone calls from people who think this is about saving the station from the Nazis one day, and another group who says this is about saving the station from black people. You know, I don't know what the opposition really wants.
I'll tell you how you can resolve this. If you and your management there, if they have the courtesy, because I know a lot of prominent people, believe it or not, tried to get Ms. Treece Lee to sit down and talk to Bernard White, and she refused. A lot of prominent people. I mean,
don't you come on. I mean, this is another issue.
No, I mean
nobody can deny. Maybe people can argue about how things were done or how they should have been done, but nobody can tell me that Wake Up Call was a good show.
It was much better. And let me tell you something.
Listen, that's where we don't have any agreement at all. That's where we disagree. It was a terrible show. It was loose. It really was.
First of all, when Zion was executed, okay, who was the show, the first people to break the news?
Me! I was there at the UN interviewing people when Zion was executed. I was there covering it every day on the WBAI news.
How about Freddie Lee Wright? Who was the first one to break the news about the execution?
Jeez, we're talking about every execution in the world.
Okay,
I mean,
how about the one in Virginia when Doug Wilder, a black man, had an innocent black man?
Right.
Who broke that news? See, I'm saying that.
Who broke that news? AP, probably.
I mean,
the Associated Press.
Bernard did do good work. And you got, even though he's been this.
I know, but his whole. Come on. I mean,
listen,
we're not going to get into a discussion about Bernard. You know what? Let me say this. I'll let you talk. Let me just make this comment to what you said, and I'll let you talk. All right. I have tuned in to Channel 34, to Bernard's cable TV show.
Right.
And. Come on, man. I mean, the skills are not there.
Hey,
I can tell you horror stories. I don't want to be that embarrassing. I could tell you stories that friends of Bernard told me, you know, after they said, well, you know, it's terrible that Bernard doesn't have his show anymore. And I pointed out, well, did you think that your show was any good? And they laughed and told me stories about their experiences, about how poor the production qualities were of the show. They were unbelievably rotten production qualities.
From an informative standpoint, let's say for somebody...
Right, but you can't...
I can criticize you, Treece. I mean, most of the time...
Well, we know that, dear. That seems to be your favorite thing to do.
I can criticize you, Treece. When I listen to her, the only thing I got is this condescending attitude. You're a school teacher, I'm a student, I mean, blah, 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 this and that.
Oh, come on, that's...
Okay, that's a sexist remark.
I know.
Now you're getting really ugly with your criticism.
That's too much. We're going to move on. We have a lot of calls. We're going to move on, caller.
Like ugly gossip is what that is.
You love that school marm thing, right? You were saying that that's a sexist...
I think that's a blatantly sexist remark. Yes, I do.
It's made by people who want to put down a woman
who's in
position of power.
Yeah, to try to say that she doesn't deserve the power, that she deserves to sit in a little room with 20 children and teach.
Right.
That's a blatantly sexist remark, in my opinion.
And you're on the radio.
Hello, this is the friendly shot caller who may not agree with this radio station, but I'd like to say, Paul, I hope you feel better from that undastardly deed.
Yeah, I'm getting better.
Yeah.
I'm getting better.
I was angry about it. I was going to say, it's so
I think anybody who's ever thought that they possibly could be assaulted while they're doing their job in their workplace during a work day would be worried about that.
You don't know that old cliche, never hit a man with the glasses? I dared him to hit a man. Hit a person like me wearing a paper bag and a dirty underwear. And second is, I like to rebuke some things about what Mike said.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Number one,
there's a lot of controversial things there.
Yeah, number two is, you got this bozo named King George III who attempted to ask the Russians to provide mercenaries, including Cossacks, during the American Revolutionary War, but the deal fell through.
Really? I didn't know about the Cossack deal.
It was alleged they might use Cossack troops, but they were thinking about using Russian troops.
They used Hessians, right? The Germans.
Instead, they used Hessians.
Right. That didn't work out too good. They caught them in Trenton with their pants on.
Yes, they did, and I was at the battle site of Trenton at the Trenton Barracks.
Mm. Oh, really? So there's a monument there?
Yes. The barracks still stands, but the middle part is a replica of it.
Mm.
It was pulled down after the war to make room for a big road to the Trenton State House.
Ah, so they rebuilt it. You know what's like that? It's amazing places in West Virginia.
Harper's Ferry.
Harper's Ferry. Unbelievable. They rebuilt it all to look just like it did back when John Brown was there.
And we met the curator this weekend.
Yeah, we did. We met the curator of Harper's Ferry. Interesting guy. We'll have him on the show. Yeah, we're going to definitely have him on, maybe.
A lot of fun.
And also, in 1690, when the Austrians were at war with the Ottomans, the Habsburg encouraged all the Serbs in occupied Turkish territory, including Kosovo, to rebel. And when the Austrians were in the plan to take Constantinople, all they went bust. And that's why a lot of Serbs were driven out, because they answered the call of the Habsburg to rebel against the Turks.
I see. Now, there's a large Turkish minority in Bulgaria, right? They just elected a king.
Mm, I heard about that, too.
Right, and then somebody was telling me that I was reading in the paper that one of the largest parties, political parties in Bulgaria, is the party representing Turks who still live there.
I was well aware of it because this is before, during, like, the end of the Cold War, and then I realized there were ethnic Turks living there.
That's amazing.
And
you have to think about it. When you see the maps, you know, my friend Ivo was showing me the map and how you can see, like, how the border lines actually show how, like, they tried to push into Europe, and this is as far as they could get, and it's like a triangular shape because of that. And it's fascinating, I think, that you can see the borders and that. Now, which was it? Were the Croatians or the Serbs supposed to be the people who were the front lines to fight off the Turks?
Well, it was the Croatians.
The Croatians, okay.
Because there was one.
Now, some Serbs like to say it's I think some Croatians like to say it's the Serbs who were.
Both. There were both. There were even Serbs that fled after when the so-called March on Constantinople went bust, after when Austria had to realize to face a real threat, which was King Louis XIV. That's why they pulled out.
I see. So they wanted to head to Turkey, but they got distracted by a war with France.
Right. And there was also a lot of Serbs who served in Austrian regiments, you know, through, like, the wars against the Ottomans up to World War I.
Mm. So that's it. But then when the Germans invaded, there was a lot of opposition.
Yeah, and there was also... And also, the other thing Mike forgot to mention...
Like nationalism, the growth of nationalism sort of happened, yeah.
Yeah, you also, Mike, forgot to mention that there were also pro-Nazi Serbs.
Definitely.
There were pro-Nazi...
Not the Ustasha? No, those were the Croats.
That was the Croats, and there were also pro-Nazi Serbs.
Uh-huh.
And there was... And also, I read in this magazine, you may not agree with my military history thing.
Mm-hmm.
You may not agree with me on it, but it has a status of, like, all the units that serve in the Waffen-SS, and they have, like, 10,000 Serbs, you know, full-blooded Serbs that served in the Waffen-SS. You also have 5,000 Serbs of German origin that served in the notorious Prince Eugen Division, which was, which were notorious against partisans and even destroyed a lot of villages along the way.
What do they call those guys? The Nazi Serbs. They have a name for that.
I know they have a name, but I cannot pronounce it.
Right.
Since I'm dyslexic.
There's a I have a fascinating book on that whole, the League. It's called Inside the League, about the World Anti-Communist League, which is an organization that was set up by, you know, with a highfalutin name, but in fact was set up by remnants of all these various Nazi groups, and operates throughout the world, and was supportive of, like, South Korea and Chiang Kai-shek, and had very close relations to Jesse Helms, was the senator, I think. And the book is fascinating. It's written by a couple of Los Angeles Times journalists. I can't think of their names. I have it at home. It's called Inside the League.
Yeah.
And it traces all these groups and has unbelievable photographs from going back from World War II, these guys, you know, as young men in action. Many of them moved to to the Lower East Side of Manhattan, actually, and lived there for years. And a matter of fact, one of the highest concentrations of escaped Nazi war criminals was in the Lower East Side around 2nd Avenue.
Well, and also speaking about war criminals, although the Nazi war criminals are disappearing fast, and new
they'd be like 100 years old.
The new war criminals, may it be those from Augusto Pinochet, may it be those of, like, the Hutu extremists,
may it be those
of, like, Milosevic's Goon Squad Incorporated.
All right, well, he's gone.
He's gone. So, and also, I like to say is, who knows, I might have fans of the Unknown Angry Caller. Do I get, like, hate mail, too, also?
I'll forward you any for you. Any I get with your name,
we'll let you know.
I will forward to you.
All right, so,
all right.
Although I may not agree with this radio station, although I may not have no... Although I'm no fan of McVeigh and Milosevic, I like to shock the radio station, and I like to give the headaches to those bozos of McVeigh and Milosevic.
Keep on calling.
Have a shocking good night.
You too.
Good night.
And you're on the radio.
Hello?
Am I interrupting a substandard program?
Oh, this is the same guy again. All right. You've had your opportunity. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. I just have to roll my radio.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little surprised that... that you don't accept dissenting views on the matter. I also have listened to many people.
Well,
I didn't
being punched in the head is quite a dissenting view.
Say that again?
Getting punched in the head is quite a dissenting
view.
Well,
what I heard was that the person was simply trying to photograph, and you, presented that person from, I don't even know who the person is. And then I heard...
Well, we're... The gossip.
So you listen to gossip and not the person who was there.
No, wait
right?
a moment.
And not the witnesses, the three or four witnesses, of course.
Wait a moment. You didn't let me finish.
No, but, you know, you listen.
I'm
gossip is gossip. Admit, I just want to know where you got your information. You're making
listen,
a statement,
I've
and I have a right to know where the, what your source on this is.
More than a month ago.
And more than a month ago. Well, so this incident happened about 2 weeks ago.
I'm not talking only about that incident.
Well, I am, because I want to get people's position on it. And, you know,
well,
you want there's a responsibility that goes along with free speech, and part of that responsibility is recognizing when a violent attack happened to somebody on the air. You know, and then taking a position on it. And I find it very interesting that members of the opposition find it so difficult to take a position in opposition
to
somebody being violently attacked in their workplace.
Everybody does. I'm not at your workplace.
Well, guess what? Somebody was violently attacked at my workplace, me. And I'm very, very interested in the point of view of the opposition on that fact.
There is no opposition.
The opposition. There's an opposition to WBAI. There's obviously an opposition to WBAI.
There's an opposition to the way the station changed. We all think differently, but many of us agree.
What are you talking about? There's an opposition to the way things changed. They offered the head of the of WBAI a new job, and she turned it down. And her supporters then.
Job?
What?
How do you call that a new job?
Oh. in other words, an employee has the right to turn down a new job offer. That is true. Right? And therefore, they're also, the people who offer them job are then allowed to say, okay, you're fired. She didn't have a contract.
But I'm not talking about that lady.
I am, because that's what started all this.
How many years was Bernard working at the station? Who appointed him to that morning program? He used to work at night. How all of a sudden he becomes a morning person? I didn't think he was.
So do you like him or don't like him?
There was so much I didn't like, of course. I didn't
think. So this is what I'm talking about. I mean, you have people, everybody who's mad at WBAI is unified in the same side. It's so fascinating.
We disagree.
Who are we?
Me. I disagree with much of what Utrecht is all about. I don't like what she's about.
Oh, okay.
I never have.
What don't you like about
her? I never have. I find her extremely elitist. Extremely insensitive to people who don't speak the way she does. It's as though she thinks we're all living on Trinidad and we're all in this sunny climate.
Oh boy, man.
People don't.
You should listen to yourself, dear.
I know.
You should take a close look at how you speak about other people.
Yeah.
People agree.
Did you hear what what Joni said? Are you going to speak to that? Are you even listening? We just basically said that you should be listening. No, okay, she's not listening.
She can't even listen to herself, much less someone else.
I know. That's enough of that. You're on the radio.
Hello.
Hi.
Joni. Hello, Paul.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay. I've been listening to this program. I've been listening to you, Paul, talk about... you're having been assaulted, and
listen. Now you want to see the pictures?
That's a fascinating tone you have in your voice there.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
In any event,
do you see the photographs of my face look like?
I just think.
Have you seen the photographs of what my face look like?
Excuse me.
Have you seen the photographs of what my face look like?
I think I was in the middle of saying something as well.
No. Answer
did
the question.
Did you see photographs?
What did you see a picture of it? No. Answer yes or no. Did you see a photograph of what my face looked like?
Hello.
Did you see a photograph of what my
not
face looked like?
Not unless you showed me some.
So you didn't. You're saying no, you did not. Just say no, you didn't.
I can't even say the word no.
Goodbye.
In response to a question. I mean, what?
Goodbye.
That's sad.
You're on the radio.
Yeah, hi, Paul.
Hi.
It would be helpful. I've been trying to get in. It would be helpful if you introduce the nice co-host you have there.
Hi.
No, because like she jumped in on that man earlier that was trying to say. Utrecht acted like a school marm. And
she said that's a sexist remark. That's an anti-woman sexist remark from a woman saying that.
Let me...
Oh, goodbye. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Well, hi. Yeah, I remember when you were boycotting the Pacifica News and...
I don't know. What do you mean boycotting the Pacifica News?
Boycotting being a stringer for Pacifica News when they tried to censor it about 6 months ago.
Do you know the story behind that?
I just remember.
Do you know the story behind that? Do you know what's going on with that? Do you know who called this? And do you know the rationale for calling this?
I'm not saying.
Do you know the rationale for calling this alleged strike? Which, of course, no union on earth. Agrees exists as a strike.
Yeah, but I mean you.
I mean,
you
did, I mean after.
And,
I mean
and now you're completely flipped, and I'm.
No,
not
no,
sure
no, 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 no. Kick back for a second here. Kick back for a second. Kick back for a second. Do you want me to respond to that? I mean, come on.
You would have to stop talking.
You'll have to stop talking. If you want to continue on the air, you have to stop talking. You have to stop talking right now if you want to continue on the air in a discussion.
All right.
All right? Or else I'll just knock you off. All right, now, because guess what? I decide who stays on the air and doesn't right now in this time slot. And that's a bottom line that you're going to have to live with and for some time to come. And so, therefore, if you want to listen, I'll tell you this, all right? That a person, you know, I don't want to name any names because obviously there's people already gunning for lawsuits and all kinds of stuff around here. And, you know, obviously they're listening to this show and transcribing it and all that crap. So, all right, I'm just going to refer to certain people. All right? Certain people came to me and said, oh, it's horrible what's happening at the Pacifica Network News. We must boycott this tremendous, like, thing that's happening. People are being cut off left and right. And, you know, I'm reading the Internet, and the Internet's having all these messages and back and forth, and there seems to be some sort of censorship thing happening at the Pacifica Network News. So I told the and basically I had been doing stuff for the news under Dan Coughlin's regime, right? And I had done a whole bunch of things, and then Dan is in all this trouble, and he's not to be heard from, and he's going to be kicked off the air and all these things. Well, it turns out that the people who are organizing this boycott are themselves like people who never really did anything for the Pacifica Network News in the first place. I mean, they were not really, quote-unquote, even stringers. They had never done anything for them, were never even accepted as reporters, and never really had careers as reporters. They were professional activists. I didn't know that at first. It took me a while to learn that they were professional activists aligned with certain forces at KPFA, the station in San Francisco. All right? Then I found out that there were more things going on than I realized over at the Pacifica Network News, right? You know, that in fact, one of the problems that I was seeing at the Pacific Network News, what I thought was they could be doing better, was in fact because they were having their resources taken out from under them by another national program, that all the resources were going to the other national program, and that they really had no resources at Pacifica Network News. And I, you know, I began to see, that might be a problem there. There's no real sharing of resources. All right, then I got to actually, you know, I never really, and I made the mistake that I think that a lot of people made. I never really bothered to talk to any of the people at Pacifica Network News and ask them what was going on. In the weeks and months that followed, I actually got a chance to talk to them. And that's when I realized that this was a non-strike. There wasn't any boycott or strike going on against these people, and there never was. It was just a bunch of propaganda on the email by one person in support of another person who, guess what? The person who this was supposed to be in support of, this strike, the person who gave me some work, and therefore I showed some loyalty to, because he had given me some work and the other people didn't seem to be giving me any work, and I didn't really understand what was going on, and I was hearing all these claims of censorship at the Pacifica Network News. And then, so, you know, I go along with it, and then I discover, oh, the person who this was supposed to be in support of has made this unbelievable settlement. They made a settlement. They accepted a check from Pacifica Foundation as a settlement and moved on to a new job. What is the purpose, then, of the strike, of the boycott?
Well, I never thought of it.
Why should there be a boycott if the person that the boycott was being held over has got a settlement that he signed a contract for and got his money and left? Why do we keep the... What's the purpose of keeping it going? Why is it a strike? You know, whose job is being threatened?
Well, I thought it had more to do with the...
But you don't understand. I was the guy who was... You might have thought it had more to do with this, that, the other thing, but I was the guy who was actually contributing to them, who got called and talked to.
Yeah, well, I figured...
And given this whole story, this whole song and dance.
I mean, even though I was believing everything you said at the time about how terrible the Pacifica Board was, I thought maybe that...
I didn't say
really
that. I didn't ever say anything. I had a lot... Wait a second. Don't put words in my mouth.
All right.
I did a lot of interviews with all kinds of people. All right? And as I remember, not one of those interviews saw the light of day outside at 1:30 to 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, well, they...
Did Bernard White put it on his show?
Only the late night stuff.
No. Yeah, did Bernard White put a word? Do you think I didn't ask him? He said no. Bernard White never put a word of it on. You don't think I was threatened with being fired by Valerie Van Isler? Yes. She said, you will be removed from the air. And you know what? I went to the internet, and she got 1,000 emails in support of me. And that was the end of that.
So it's a bunch of emails. I don't know.
You know, so you know what I'm saying? I'm saying, like, what the hell is this allegedly about? And you know what? I've gotten to talk to these Pacifica board members. You think their politics are any different than Amy's?
Yes.
They aren't.
Especially
they have the exact same politics.
Especially the ones...
They have the exact same politics.
Well, what about when they...
Exact same liberal, left, Democratic to Green Party type politics.
So
exactly the same. What?
How do you explain them shutting the Berkeley station down? I mean, it seems to me like what they're...
I know, but you know what? I heard this.
Work.
There's another side to it. I'm not saying that was the right thing. I'm just saying this. There was another side to it.
Well, there's another side to it.
I heard that, in fact, what happened? Dennis Bernstein, right?
Yeah.
Had a freak out on the air and was dragged off the air allegedly by security, right?
Yeah, that was more or less broadcast live.
Right, but, you know, don't you think that Dennis purposely created that situation and then hyped it and went in and did it on purpose in order to a pre-planned way to cause that problem? You know, and that everybody knows that there and they hate him for it, half the people at the station there?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
well, you know, there's a lot more to things than you realize.
More to things.
I know Dennis for 20 years, and he's quite capable of it.
And to the extent that this is just a bunch of personality clashes, I don't even want to hear about it. But based on what I had heard before from you and others,
I know. But what I'm saying, but all right, exactly. Because guess what? The Pacifica people never came to me before. I've only met them in the last few months. I thought they were these evil people till I met them, and I realized, Jesus Christ, these people are like the same people.
Well,
they're the same people, the same politics.
Then why are they creating all this divisiveness at the AI? It sounds it's a much smarter attack on their part.
Do you think what was the divisiveness?
Well, Valerie
Van Isler was offered a new job.
Yeah, being promoted upstairs.
So what? She had a job for 10 years. So did she have a lifetime thing? She didn't have a contract.
I don't know.
Want her to be there?
I don't really.
Do you pay her salary? Do you personally pay Valerie Van Isler's salary?
Well, when I used to subscribe, I did.
Oh, yeah. You pay your taxes, too. But you ever go to a police officer and say, hey, you can't arrest me, I pay your taxes?
Well, you know, that...
Have you ever tried that?
That's not the point.
You don't want to get punched in the face? That's how to get punched in the face by a cop.
Yeah, look, I'm you know? I don't know.
Nobody likes that, and you don't go to anybody and say, you do my bidding because I pay your salary. You don't do that to anybody.
All right, so basically...
Nobody does that. You wouldn't put up with it if somebody did it to you for 2 seconds.
Yeah, well, look...
You wouldn't, would you?
What I see...
Would you put it up with for 2 seconds? If somebody went to you and said, I pay your salary, I pay your tax, I don't know what you do for a living, but I pay your salary...
Yeah, yeah.
You would tell them, yeah, well, I'm an independent human being, and I make a decision based on my independence.
Right. But basically, it seems to me that by sowing divisiveness, they're getting...
What is the divisiveness? You're saying words because you're not backing it up with facts.
Now,
what divisiveness was... Now, see, you're going into the attack mode.
No,
I'm not. Yes, you are. You're coming in here with no desire to have a discussion. You're just trying to generate stuff for some little schmuck to sit down type and put on the internet. That's all you're trying to do here. I hear you, right. You're on the radio.
Hello?
You're on the radio.
Hello?
Mike, you're a fucking asshole. Oh.
You're on the radio.
Hello?
The police are coming. I'm making a report, and I plan to go to the emergency room and to establish.
You're on the radio.
Hello?
Get off the air. Your time is up.
Nope. I'm still here. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Paul, listen, I'm trying to talk. I've been giving money by plastic for years to PA.
Did you give the last marathon?
I gave...
Did you give it... The last marathon, did you make a donation to WVAI?
Not after you, Treese.
All right, bye. You're on the radio.
Hello?
You attacked Kevin Pritchard and...
Oh, yeah. Lie. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Yeah, the kicks are for kids. Listen, man, I was there now, and, you know, I noticed that everybody...
Shabazz, how you doing?
Yeah, man? How you doing? Listen, I want to say a couple of things if you got the time.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know... The one guy, he comes on, he talks to you. He made a statement about these different people around different areas in the planet, and he left out Giuliani and then the four cops that assaulted and took the life of Amadou Diallo, and I thought that he should have put that in the mix, too. But anyway, I want to say something about the Spain thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because somewhere the guy was talking there, your friend, he was running down quite a bit of stuff there, and I think he was around 15th century or something, but somewhere in the 14th century, wasn't Latin the prominent language for even getting into the word of so-called God and all of that?
Well, sure.
Yeah, Latin, right?
Right. That was the Latin. That was Latin was raised a Catholic. You know, Latin was the language of the Catholic man.
And so I want to say that also that. That it took a while before many of those areas up around and they even got to even understand some of the translations of that if they didn't even speak Latin. And then, so somewhere, I guess, what, in the 15th century, so you had a lot of this ML, or not the ML you were talking about, but the Martin Luther stuff, you know, the Protestantarians.
Mm-hmm. Right,
you know,
right.
A lot of Protestants came in and it was around in that same area up around in there, you know.
In Europe.
And yeah, exactly. And And I'm thinking that, you know, people are talking, but they're overlooking where a lot of that stuff came from, you know. And I mean, the origins of it, and it's still consumed or consummated into the one word I prefer to use, which is Armageddon. And I don't care how you try to...
Armageddon out of here?
Yeah. You know? And I wanted to bring that up because, you know, there's a lot to be said about that area of the world. And if you're looking closer, you know, like a lot of people, they want to look over here and over there in parts of the world. But, you know, right here is where I think if you want to really get educated is where you look, right here. You know, like a baby Bush and what are they up to and that type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I appreciate the fact that I must have missed that action over there just a few minutes, man. And you know, and I sure enough would like to have rolled my sleeves up and got into it. But I wasn't allowed for some reason, man. Everybody just seemed like they disappeared. You know?
Well, fortunately, there were a number of witnesses to what happened. Those eyewitnesses saw it from three different angles, at least, and provided an incredible description of events that proved, without a doubt, that I was the victim of an assault. And that's just the bottom line that people are going to have to get used to, whether they like it or not. You know?
Yeah, and I know the intentions weren't kosher, you know, so because yeah. That I know.
So seizing a radio station, by the way, is a federal offense.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Oh, it is. It's in the, we have a copy of the law. I looked it up. It's in the Telecommunications Act of 1934. What was it in Title
47.
Title 47.
And so I just want to say, man, that, you know, I always appreciate your show when I'm listening, and I try to get as much out of it as I can, and you know, and I got your back. So
I appreciate that.
Don't worry about them clowns, man.
I'm not.
Kicks are for kids.
There you go. I'm not. Thank you so much. Bye.
All right, can I?
And you're on the radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Listen, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I love the way you're putting a smackdown on a lot of these people, because it's got to be done. And as far as, you know, what you said about not going to the cops, I mean, I'm not big on going to the cops either, but don't rule that completely out.
Well, you got to. What I learned is that the way the police work is the person who goes first is the one they tend to think, you know, they automatically side with whoever goes to them first because it proves you are more willing to go to the cops, you know. So it screws you in the end. You know, if you take an anarchist position of not wanting to go to the cops because, well, you know, you don't want to have them settle things, because you don't believe in the idea of the police coming in and settling things, it puts you at a disadvantage to people who are willing to do it.
Yeah, well, hopefully you got more security there now, right?
Yeah, they put in more security. And, you know, what's funny is that, you know, we've now brought in security. We have a you know, you know, I'm sitting here, I don't know how much to say. Let me put it this way, that after we were had a long discussion with the local precinct about the security situation here, they've taken a new eye and a new view on what's going on here, and I'm going to be watching more closely.
Well, you got the witnesses, too, to back you.
Three witnesses.
And if those people don't like to listen to you or being, I just go listen to Rush Limbaugh.
I know. Exactly. And, you know, I hate to, you know, as I said, going to the cops is like the last thing I would do, but somebody else did it, and it just sort of got turned around in their own face.
Great job. Thanks.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for calling.
And you're on the radio.
Hello? Hello, hello.
You're on the radio.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
How are you? This is Sinan. How are you?
Sinan. Thanks for the messages, huh?
Yeah, but I wanted to say it on the air. It hurt to hear you being hurt. That morning that you got hurt on in the morning show, it was very painful. I don't agree with everything that's going on at the station right now, but that doesn't stop me from saying I don't want anyone to be hurt, and I definitely don't want you to be hurt. It was like overwhelming because it's like you're over there, you know. It's not like we could reach out, you know, through the radio and stop it or at least soothe you, you know. And it was really impossible to get on the line and say that to you. So I want to say it to you now. It's just wrong. Like I say, I do not agree with what's going on in the station. But that's not why I called. I called to tell you, Paul, and you, Joni, that I appreciate the two of you for the way you've treated me. And I don't think it's right for anyone to go into that station and create a situation where you're going to be hurt.
There you go. And, you know, it is a federal offense to come into a radio station with the intent of trying to disrupt that radio station's broadcast. People should never forget that. It's a federal offense.
No, I know that, but that's not what I was thinking. When it happened, it was like, oh, my God, because we could hear it over the air, how you were reacting. And to a certain, you were also, you sounded, in fact, totally shocked and surprised that that would happen to you in that setting.
At work, I don't think anybody expects to be assaulted at their workplace. But I think that violent attacks at workplaces are more common than people think.
Yeah.
And it's a work issue that I think should be dealt with. I mean, talking about union and work issues, I think violence in the workplace is a problem. I mean, it goes beyond just the stories we hear about people going postal, you know, but... and this is a case where a demonstration happened where 18 people invaded the station and created an atmosphere of confrontation. They had every intent to disrupt and to seize the airwaves. They were stopped by Brother Shine and tried to bang and enter the studio in order to play a tape on the air. That is something they don't realize that could have would have been a lot more serious a crime than they think, than they realize, if they had actually succeeded in doing that. So they should thank Brother Shine and others who stopped them from committing
legal consequences.
A very, very serious crime.
And I'd like to change the subject for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Last night, on Wednesday night, was the voting at the Rent Guidelines Board.
Right.
Did you talk about that at all?
Well, on the news that I mentioned it on the morning show the other day, I don't know what are the final. I remember reading the numbers, but I don't remember what they were, the percentages exactly.
Yeah, well, to be very honest, I can't tell you exactly what the percentages are.
It was an increase, though. And yeah, did they go with that $15 surcharge?
No, that they didn't do.
Oh, that's good.
You know, but people were so outraged. It was, people. Many people talk about that people are going along with whatever oppression is happening to them, and they're bowing their heads further and further down until it reaches the ground. But not last night. It was amazing the level of expression that was going on, to the point where that board had to unseat itself many times, and they were so uncomfortable that they could not even find their way out in order to get away from the level of recrimination. People were so in tune to the fact that these individuals who were sitting up there, none of them, with the exception of one, well, the tenant member, there are two tenant members, but one was rather vocal. And he was very much against, you know, the raising of the rents when in reality the owners do not, the majority of the owners are people who have more than 200 and something units, you know. There are many small, operations where people only have that building that they live in, you know, but the majority are not in that position. And the majority of the owners really don't incur the kind of expenses that would require their having such a tremendous increase. From what I understood, it's less than one. It's a percentage of 1% of an increase per year in expenses that they incur, you know, in the process of running the the housing that they rent to us.
I love the way they try and argue that real estate isn't profitable in New York City. Then how come it's been the number one business in New York City for 150 years?
And why are people so eager to get into owning businesses like that? I mean, you know,
it's not so profitable,
right?
You know, I want to bring something else up right now while you reminded me that tomorrow there's a press conference at City Hall for the gardeners. They're announcing a signature drive to save the gardens. It's to draw attention to the current citywide effort to place a people's referendum on the ballot in November, which would transfer the gardens from the mayor's office and the Department of Housing and Preservation and Development to the Department of Parks and Recreation. So that's tomorrow at noon at City Hall, and they're hoping for a big show of people there.
What time? At noon, okay.
At noon, yeah. Anybody who's up at noon tomorrow.
Right, and how many signatures are required, you know, in order for them to be able to put it on?
To put it on the ballot?
In the ballot?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but tomorrow they're going to announce the drive, so.
Okay, well, you know,
it's another real estate issue.
You know what was also really great about last night, that again, because of the repression that's happening, where our homes are slowly being, you know, ripped away from us, and also the possibility of our children having the right to have a place to live in Manhattan, you know, the people who were present, you know, in the audience were people coming from all sorts of racial, you know, and ethnic backgrounds. This is, again, a great opportunity for the multiplicity of races and ethnic and religious and so on backgrounds to get together, because all of us are affected when our rents are raised beyond our ability to pay for them, and there are no way of our being able to be subsidized. You know, we're not the multinational corporations that don't even pay taxes. You know, that will build a factory in Puerto Rico, not pay taxes for 5 years, and after that. They don't even build the factories. They don't even build the roads to the factories. All of that is done for them in order to bring them in.
We have to go.
Oh, okay.
Here comes Night Shift.
Night Shift has arrived.
You guys,
right.
You take care.
Thank you. We will.
Okay.
Appreciate
right.
that.
For calling, huh?
All right. You've been listening to Let Him Talk. I'm Paul DiRienzo. Night Shift has arrived. Miss Joan Marie Moosey joins me. And you can email me, PDR@echonyc.com, or check out our website, PDR.autano.net, PDR.autono.net. And thank you very much, Carmen Vitello. We know who you are, and we think you are a great writer, and keep it up.
See you next week.
See you next week. And I'll see you this morning.
You are writing very slowly this morning.
Well, that's because I don't always remember how to spell certain words.
You mean potato?
No, I can spell potato.
Oh, yeah? Spell it.
Don't ask me to spell potato.
Why not?
Because I'm trying to remember how to spell W-B-A-I.
W-B-A-I?
I made a membership pledge and I want to fulfill it.
You haven't fulfilled your pledge yet?
I'm trying not to make any spelling errors.
Are you trying to be the last person to pay?
Why, is there a prize for that?
Maybe a potato.
I just want the spelling to be correct.
It's W-B-A-I Pacifica.
Well, I know how to spell Pacifica. How do you spell W-B-A-I?
W-B-A-I.
Oh, just like it sounds.
Now spell potato.
I'm not writing a check to a potato.
No, you're writing a check to W-B-A-I.
Fulfill your pledge to W-B-A-I, spelled W-B-A-I. There is no prize for being the last to pay. No one will win, not even a potato.
transmission. I want to understand.
I suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live. You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
Hi, Valley Forge, Berkshire, Sequoia. Valley Forge, Berkshire, Sequoia.
This is Scott Central. Channel open for Executive Order AC-3423. Listen to this voice.
Cuddle this damn thing halfway around the world. I'm getting pretty sick of you. Yes, but you love me. I'm getting pretty sick of you. Yes, but you love me.
Night shift again. Night shift again.
I'll be damn late. Tasteless, orderless crud.